Hi, I'm Elowyn. Today I'm going to tell you my story. But before I continue, please like, share, and subscribe to hear more stories like this. 8 years ago, I thought I had it all. A loving husband named Garrett, a cozy home in a friendly neighborhood, and our precious son Theo. Garrett's job as a graphic designer and my work as an art teacher gave us a comfortable life. Garrett was an attentive father when Theo was born. They had special Saturday morning pancake sessions where they'd create animal shapes and splash too much syrup everywhere. "Look, Mommy," Theo would call out. "Daddy made me a dinosaur pancake with chocolate chip spikes." "That's incredible, buddy," I'd say, smiling at their joyful mess. Our life wasn't perfect, but we were happy. That changed when Vanessa, Garrett's sister, showed up unannounced with her 7-year-old daughter, Zoe. "I just need a few days," Vanessa said, mascara streaking down her cheeks. "My landlord's being impossible, and we need somewhere to stay until I figure things out." Garrett didn't even look at me before responding. "Of course you can stay. Family always has a place here." Those few days turned into weeks, and Vanessa's visits became increasingly sporadic. She only stopped by to drop off more of Zoe's belongings or borrow money. At first, I admired how Garrett cared for his niece. Zoe was quiet and had clearly been through a lot. I tried making her feel welcome, setting up the guest room with twinkle lights and offering homework help. "She doesn't need your help," Garrett snapped one evening. "I've got it covered." His tone surprised me, but I brushed it off as stress. As weeks passed, the pancake Saturdays now included Zoe, but somehow Theo ended up with plain circles while Garrett spent time creating elaborate designs for his niece. "Daddy, can we go to the science museum this weekend like you promised?" Theo asked one evening, eyes bright with anticipation. Garrett barely looked up from helping Zoe with an art project. "Not this weekend, buddy. Zoe has a dance recital. Maybe next month." I saw Theo's shoulders slump as he walked away, and something inside me tightened. That night, I approached Garrett in his home office. "I'm concerned about Theo," I said. "He's been looking forward to that trip for weeks." Garrett sighed. "Elowyn, Zoe needs stability right now. Theo is our son. He knows we love him. He'll be fine missing one trip." "It's not just one trip," I pressed. "It's becoming a pattern." "You're overreacting," Garrett said dismissively. "This is temporary until Vanessa gets back on her feet." The next morning, I arrived early to pick up Theo from his school science club. I found him sitting alone, watching the door with tears building in his eyes. "Theo, what's wrong?" I asked, kneeling beside him. "Daddy was supposed to come today," he whispered. "I was team leader for our rocket project. He promised he'd see it launch." Later, I discovered Garrett had taken Zoe shopping instead, completely forgetting his promise to our son. The look in Theo's eyes that day haunted me. 3 months after Zoe's arrival, our once peaceful home had transformed. The walls seemed to absorb the tension, releasing it back into our daily interactions. What started as small incidents had grown into an undeniable pattern. One evening, I was helping Theo with his homework when Garrett burst into the room, excitement radiating from him. "Guess what? Zoe's art teacher says she has exceptional talent," Garrett announced, waving a drawing. "Look at this. She might qualify for the Young Artist Showcase." "That's nice," I replied carefully. "Theo just got an A on his math test today." Garrett barely glanced at Theo. "That's good, buddy. Hey, I need to talk to you about Zoe's art supplies." Later that night, Garrett informed me he'd spent $200 on premium art supplies for Zoe.
$200?
I gasped. "Garrett, we agreed to limit extra expenses this month. Theo needs new soccer cleats. His are falling apart." "He can wait another month," Garrett said dismissively. "This opportunity for Zoe is time-sensitive." When Theo's birthday approached, I suggested we host a small party at the local arcade. "I don't think we can afford that," Garrett said, frowning at the modest budget I'd proposed. "It's less than we spent on Zoe's dance recital outfit," I pointed out. "That was different," he snapped. "We'll do cake at home for Theo." Yet 2 weeks later, Garrett surprised Zoe with tickets to the amusement park for her getting a B on a science test. The financial discrepancies became impossible to ignore. Our joint account showed mysterious withdrawals. When confronted, Garrett would become defensive. "I'm just trying to make sure Zoe feels welcomed," he'd argue. "You're being petty about money." One rainy afternoon, I was searching for tax documents in Garrett's desk when I found bank statements for an account I didn't recognize. He had opened a separate savings account labeled Zoe's Future. The balance showed over $5,000, money that had disappeared from our family savings. I checked Theo's college fund, which we'd started at his birth, only to discover it had been nearly emptied 2 months earlier. That weekend, I took Theo to the park while Garrett took Zoe shopping. My son's quiet demeanor broke my heart. "Mommy, does Daddy not like me anymore?" Theo asked suddenly, his little face serious. "Of course he loves you," I said automatically, though doubt gnawed at me. "Then why does he always choose Zoe?" His question hung in the air. That evening, Vanessa made one of her rare appearances, staying just long enough to borrow more money from Garrett. "When are you planning to take Zoe back home?" I asked directly. Vanessa and Garrett exchanged a quick glance that made my stomach tighten. "It's complicated," Vanessa mumbled. "My situation isn't stable yet." After she left, Garrett and I had our worst argument yet. "You're being selfish," he hissed. "Zoe needs us." "And Theo doesn't?" I fired back. "He's your son." "You're jealous of a little girl," Garrett accused. "It's pathetic." The next day, Theo came home excited about a special overnight field trip to the planetarium. "Can I go, Dad, please?" Theo begged, permission slip in hand. "All my friends are going." "I don't know, bud," Garrett hesitated. "It's expensive." "But you said yes to Zoe's summer camp," Theo said, his voice small. "That's different," Garrett snapped. "The answer is no." I watched Theo's face crumple as he left the room. Later, while putting away laundry, I found papers tucked in Garrett's drawer, guardianship application forms for Zoe, partially filled out. The guardianship papers haunted me for days. I wasn't ready to confront Garrett yet. I needed to understand the full scope of what was happening. I scheduled a meeting with Theo's teacher after receiving a concerning email about his behavior. "Theo's withdrawn in class," Mrs. Chen explained gently. "When asked to draw his family for a project, he only drew you. When I asked about his father, he said, 'Dad is busy with his real kid now.'" Her words pierced my heart. That night, I found Theo sobbing in his room, clutching a torn notebook. "What happened, sweetie?" I asked, sitting beside him. "Zoe ripped up my space drawings," he whispered. "Dad said it was an accident and I shouldn't make a big deal about it. But she told me she did it on purpose because Dad likes her art better." I comforted Theo until he fell asleep, then stormed into the living room where Garrett was helping Zoe with another art project. "We need to talk about what happened with Theo's drawings," I said firmly. Garrett sighed dramatically. "Kids fight, Elowen. Theo needs to toughen up." "Toughen up? He's six. And this isn't about toughening up. It's about accountability." "You're making mountains out of molehills," Garrett dismissed me. The next day, I received a call from the pediatrician's office, confirming Theo's canceled therapy appointment. "Canceled?" "I didn't cancel it," I said, confused. "Your husband called yesterday. He said it wasn't necessary anymore." Fury rose within me. Theo had been struggling with anxiety since Zoe's arrival, and the therapy sessions were helping. When I confronted Garrett, his response left me speechless. "We need that money for Zoe's art classes," he explained casually. "Theo's just being dramatic for attention." That evening, Vanessa came by unexpectedly. I overheard her conversation with Garrett from the hallway. "Are the papers ready?" she asked. "Almost," Garrett replied. "Once we have permanent guardianship, the monthly support payments will start." "Good. I need that money," Vanessa said. "Honestly, I thought you'd push back more about taking her permanently." "Are you kidding? Zoe's special. She's going places. Besides, raising her opens doors for me, too." Their calculated words turned my blood cold. This wasn't about family helping family. It was a scheme. One that used both Zoe and my son as pawns. That night, after everyone was asleep, I found Theo's torn drawings and carefully pieced them together, tears streaming down my face as I made my decision. I waited until Garrett took Zoe on a weekend trip to her art camp showcase before making my move. With careful planning, Theo and I packed our essential belongings and moved into a small apartment I'd secretly secured across town. I left Garrett a note explaining that his consistent prioritization of Zoe over Theo had destroyed our family. I included copies of Theo's torn artwork and his therapy notes detailing his growing anxiety and feelings of abandonment. 3 days later, my phone exploded with Garrett's calls and messages. How could you just leave? He demanded when I finally answered. Everyone thinks I'm some kind of monster. You've turned Theo against me.
You did that yourself, I replied calmly. For months, you've shown Theo exactly where he stands in your priorities.
That's not fair. I was helping my niece.
At the complete expense of your son, I countered. I heard you and Vanessa talking about your arrangement. You canceled Theo's therapy to pay for Zoe's art classes. His silence confirmed everything. Word spread quickly through our social circle. Garrett had always maintained an image as a devoted father, but now people saw the reality. Our friends who had noticed Theo's withdrawal at gatherings connected the dots. Garrett's boss, who had children of Theo's age, was particularly disturbed by his behavior. When the annual promotion cycle came around, Garrett was passed over. His boss cited concerns about his judgment and priorities. Meanwhile, Theo began flourishing in his new environment. I enrolled him in art therapy, where he processed his feelings through vibrant space drawings. His teacher remarked on his renewed engagement at school. After 2 months, Vanessa showed up at my workplace.
Garrett's a mess, she said accusingly. His colleagues are avoiding him, and he lost that promotion he was counting on.
Actions have consequences, I replied simply. He was just trying to help me and Zoe, she insisted.
No, you were both using Zoe to get what you wanted, regardless of how it hurt Theo.
6 months after we left, Theo was invited to display his artwork in a children's exhibition. The local newspaper covered the event, featuring a photo of Theo proudly standing next to his Cosmic Landscape series. Garrett showed up unexpectedly at the exhibition.
Elowen, can we talk? He asked, looking genuinely remorseful.
I've been doing a lot of thinking. I miss you both. I miss our family.
We're not your family anymore, I said firmly.
You made your choice.
I made mistakes, he admitted.
I'm sorry. Can't we try again, for Theo's sake?
I looked over at Theo, confidently explaining his artwork to an admiring crowd.
Look at him, Garrett. He's healing. He's growing. Your apology doesn't erase the damage you caused. Some choices can't be undone.
As Garrett walked away, shoulders slumped, I felt no satisfaction in his pain, only relief that Theo and I had found our peace.
A year later, I heard Vanessa had regained custody of Zoe, leaving Garrett alone in the house that once held our family. The monthly payments he'd expected never materialized. Looking back, I realized that true justice wasn't about revenge, but about breaking free from toxic relationships and creating space for healing. The best revenge was simply moving forward and thriving without those who couldn't value us properly.